This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord of the mountaintop experience, God of dazzling clothes, show us how to be. Change us. Transfigure us into your likeness. Amen. Good morning. Well, the day has come. There have been arguments now for 2 weeks about which one is the best, who's going to win, and we will turn on our television sets tonight to find out. And of course, I'm talking about the commercials. The estimates that Fortune magazine put out this year said that the average cost of a 30-second ad on the Super Bowl tonight is $5 million. Now, Mrs. Pleasanton was busy in the back at 7:45 trying to figure out the math for me, what that would mean per second. But I think we just need to get in with one of these advertising agencies and just have them donate 1 second to St. Joseph's, and we will have handled all of our budgetary problems at the church and the school combined. But the good news is for this that they release the commercials early. So I've watched them all already, so I really could care less about the game myself, so I don't need to watch it. I've seen the commercials. And I can tell you that promises will be made. That if you buy a certain car, you are going to have excitement in your life. That if you buy a certain insurance policy, all the problems in your life are going to go away. And if you drink a certain beer, well, I won't tell you, but certain things are going to happen. Promises will be made that for $5 million, sometimes 10 for those that last 60 seconds, they can't possibly back up. Not possibly. Yet today, on this Transfiguration Sunday, we have a promise made and a promise that we can back up if only we heed what the promise calls us to do. Transfiguration, to be changed. Just like Moses' face was changed, just like Jesus and his clothes were changed, so too, we are called and enabled to be transformed into God's likeness. Just that we can mess it up if we're not careful. I love that story from the Old Testament and the story that goes with it to Michelangelo, the great sculptor. And you can go to St. Peter and Chain's church in Rome to this day to see the great sculpture of Moses after he's come down the mountain that Michelangelo did. And they misinterpreted the Latin about his face and the veil, and somehow they got the idea that Moses had horns. And so to this day, there is this huge statue of Moses holding the commandments with these big horns in his head. We can get it wrong, and we are stuck with things for a long time. So how do we get the commercial right? How do we get the advice right? Well, let's look at this transfiguration. Jesus takes those who were most special to him, Peter, John, and James. And there is a voice from heaven that speaks, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." His clothes are changed color. His face becomes dazzling white. This had to be an incredible scene. And I love that our lectionary now continues to give us the after story, because they come down that mountain, and what happens? They do not get it at all. A simple case of a child who's having convulsions. And after what they just experienced with Jesus, with the voice saying, listen to him, with his face dazzling white and his clothes and everything else, Peter, John, and James didn't think that when this father brings his child that maybe they should just refer to Jesus, because if Jesus can do that, he can sure do that. But they didn't do that, did they? It's understandable that Jesus would be shaking his head and saying, you perverse and faithless generation, are you ever going to get it? And it goes on from there. What happens next is those same disciples start arguing about who's the greatest one. It had to be driving him crazy. The line that follows that is my favorite line in all of Luke's gospel, Luke 9:51. And then Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. Jesus knows, having been confirmed on the top of that mountain by God, what he was to do and what he was called to do is exactly what he will do. His whole purpose, his whole mission now is focused on going to Jerusalem, where he knows that there will be suffering, that there will be rejection, that there will be death, but there will also be resurrection. Now, it's the same for us, I think. We can get it wrong. So I want to point out a few things today about this. Number one, Jesus takes those who are his beloved up the mountain. He takes us as well. And when God speaks to Jesus and says, this is my beloved, listen to him, he is saying, we are his beloved as well. So know that to begin with. You are God's beloved. And now, as the church gives us this gospel on the very eve of us going into the Lenten season, it's a good thing to keep in mind that if we are going to have that mountaintop experience, it is meant to be given to us to go back down the mountain and live it out. Somebody wisely once said, we don't live on the mountaintop, we visit the mountaintop and we live in the valley. Well, Lent is meant to be that mountaintop experience for us. You all know that I love the season. You're going to all hear me say on Wednesday, Happy Lent, and people look at me like, what is wrong with you? But I love this season because it's the one 40-day slot in our whole year when we have an excuse legitimately to concentrate on the things that really matter. And it's acceptable in society. People all over the world will be walking around with ashes on their forehead stating that I am a Christian, and nobody's going to raise any question about it. It's accepted. You can be at a cocktail party and you've decided you're going to forego drinking alcohol during Lent, and somebody will say, would you like a drink? And you would respond, no, I gave it up for Lent, and nobody's going to raise an eyebrow about it. For me, no thanks, no ice cream, I gave it up for Lent. They're going to think I'm really crazy. But we can do these things, and we can take on additional things as well, and what a gift it can be. So let's not wait till Wednesday, and we're trying to figure out, well, what am I going to do this Lent? And if you're going to choose to give something up, replace it with something you're going to do in its place. There's no value in just denying ourselves. It's all about giving something up so that we can take on something in its place. So if you're saving money by what you're not eating or drinking, find your favorite charity to give that money to. If you're in a situation where you are going to not do some activity, well, take up a spiritual activity in its place. We have a wonderful Bible study series coming up on St. Francis with Father Richard Rohr. All kinds of opportunities we would have. But I want to mention one more, because right now in our life together, it's close to my heart. Jesus is on that mountain, and we don't have the words that he really speaks in Luke's gospel to Peter, John, and James, but he had to speak to them some pretty strong and powerful words that told them that it's not about building the booths here, it's about us going down and setting our face towards Jerusalem. There had to have been that conversation that Jesus had to speak the truth to them, which is also what that second reading at the end talked about today. Well, I think there's an opportunity for us. You have heard me speak of this before if you've been around here for a while. But some of the things that have been circulating in our community for the last few weeks, maybe a month, I think we need to think about the truth that we speak and don't speak. There is a series of three questions when we want to say something about somebody else that we should be always considering. And I don't take credit for this. It goes back to the time of Socrates. And the first question is it true? That which I'm about to say about this person, do I know for a fact that this is true? Not that so-and-so said that so-and-so said that so-and-so said that he or she did this or didn't do that, but did I observe that behavior myself? And if I didn't, I think I need to be quiet about it. Is it true? The second thing is equally important. Is it kind? There's a lot of true things that I have observed about myself and other people, but certainly it wasn't kind things. It wouldn't be very beneficial for me to share that. If it's true but not kind, maybe I need to just keep my mouth shut. But then there's a third and very important question. Is it necessary? Now, there are lots of things that are true and they are unkind, but they are totally unnecessary for me to share. It's not going to build up the body. It's not going to help. It becomes nothing but gossip. There are times when there are things that I know to be true and I know them to be unkind, but they are necessary. The classic example of this, unfortunately, I had to deal with a similar type of situation not too long ago. But there was something I knew to be true. There was a child molester in the community. Now, that's an unkind thing to have to share, but it certainly was necessary because this person had access to children, and I needed to call it out. Very necessary to protect our young ones. Those kinds of things can happen. But for the most part, what we end up dealing with is passing on gossip about people that we really don't know if it's true. Somebody just said that because they wanted to get even with them or something. And it's certainly not kind and certainly not necessary. If any of this is ringing true for you, maybe that's what you need to give up this Lent. Maybe think about the people that you have a hard time saying nice things about. Well, not only give up saying bad things about them, but find something positive about that person. Good Lenten discipline, I think. Jesus had to tell Peter, John, and James, nope, we got to go down that mountain because we got work to do. Probably wasn't an easy thing for Peter to hear. And a lot of times, these same kinds of messages aren't easy for us to hear. So as we celebrate this wonderful sacrament with these families today, maybe it's a chance for us to recommit as well. Not only to realize that we are God's beloved, but that we too are called to set our face towards Jerusalem. Amen.